It's your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. Thanks for listening. Today, Nick and I talk about how significantly life has changed in recent years, and how our approach to life has changed in response. I hadn't really considered how my approach to my work and facilitation have evolved to deal with the new kinds of human beings and the new challenges and needs that they bring. But once again, my podcast partner unleashes my brain with a simple question. Check it out. I don't have any legitimate power. That's the cool thing about what I do for a living. I have no power whatsoever, other than what my clients give me.
Well, respect, right?
Yeah. Okay.
They will listen to you. They will say, like, oh, okay, so you're coming in as a subject matter expert. Also, what's nice is we're paying you, so therefore we can't, like, not take your advice, because that would mean...
Right.
It's like firing somebody immediately after you hire them.
Right.
You try to fix it because you're like, ah,
I made the investment.
I made a mistake. No.
I want to get out. Yeah, exactly. I want to get out of this what I thought I was going to get out of it, which is a return on the investment. Which, guess what? When you get to give people advice for a living, one, you get used to them not taking it. And you have to not take that personally, because that's life.
Yeah.
But then you have to question, why would you hire me and then not take my advice? I mean, why did you hire me in the first place?
Right.
And I remind people that sometimes. I'm like, you realize that you're paying me to give you my good advice, right? Because if you're choosing just to do something else, that's on you, which is fine. But, you know, you could just sit here by yourself, burn your money, and take your own advice.
Right.
You know.
Well, I wouldn't mind some perspective every once in a while. And I'm sure people have hired you just to support the ideas that they have.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So when they hear other stuff, they're like, well, maybe, I don't know.
Now, you worked in advertising.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered a client who they didn't want your creative, they wanted you to bring their creative to life?
Oh, a million times. And it wasn't the majority, but it was enough that, you know, you're always a little gun shy going in with a new client.
Oh, yeah.
So you do the thing. Did you ever do the thing where you have there's three design directions that you're pitching? The one that you like, the one that you'd live with, and the straw man, right?
Yep.
Like
the one that they're like, well, that everything looks good compared to that.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh,
so
yeah.
That's a common feature.
Okay, so what's so you get the three, though. Now, where do you place the one that you love?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I would go second or last with that one.
Yeah. I close with it.
Yeah.
I close with it because I feel like if it's really better than the other stuff I have, it creates a crescendo. And if it's not, then they're just going to say, well, I like this one better than that one. And I'm rarely crushed when a client chooses something that I wouldn't have chosen, because I won't offer them anything that I'm unwilling to show.
Sure.
You know, I have to have the bare minimum thing, as you described it. And to tell you the truth, I really don't do it that much, but I was immersed in that world yesterday working with Think Integrated. They've got a big shop. They got like 26 people. They got 5 different departments. They've got digital marketing. They've got web design. They've got creative. They've got accounts.
Transportation.
No transportation.
No department of transportation over there?
They should, actually.
They really should, considering how much Mark runs.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, he is a department of transportation.
Yeah, okay, good.
You know, and he and his partner, Noah, they're a good yin and yang to each other. They're definitely different styles, but I think they both bring something cool to the table. One of the things interesting is they're going through, you know, the challenges of being a growing company, and you know, you have to make decisions as to when you're going to expand the resources and the workforce for those things. But they came in with a slide that I loved, that I guess the quote was from Noah, that says, healthy things grow. You know, and you think about it, it's true. Healthy things grow. Of course, one team member says, yeah, but what about a tumor? I'm like, okay, but wait now. The tumor is healthy. The tumor that's growing is a healthy tumor.
Right.
So it still stands, even though, you know,
it's taking away from whatever it's in.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like that. And also, he used the term, we're not in a lake, we're in a river, which kind of reminds people that things are constantly changing, constantly moving, and you have to constantly readjust to keep your footing. You know, so there were some fun and interesting metaphors that came throughout the day. And we were in a starter lab,
downtown?
Yeah. Right
one
across
of the
from
shared workspaces, the plaza. Places. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of a cool space, movable tables. Yep. I decorated it up with all my little posters and got people in the right groove. And then we had some really good conversations, completely different conversations than I thought we were going to have when I first wrote the agenda. And then we rewrote the agenda because I think it was a good choice because they learned some things from a survey that they did of employees. And you know something? They were responding, which was perfect. It's exactly what you need to do. If we were to go just with the agenda that we had started with and ignore what they had heard or learned, it would have said something about them. And actually, their choice of going with the agenda we went with says something about them, which is we care about our people. We're going to listen to them and adjust our sales to make sure they're taken care of. Perfect. So, nice. And glad I was an improviser in this, really, yeah, and sincerely, because it felt good for me to be able to roll with these changes and not have people have to worry about it. Because that's the other thing. People are always apologetic when they have to change.
Sure.
You know, it's like, so I'm like, no, we're good. We're just going to change it and see where we go.
Well, this brings up, so let me ask you this, because this is what I was thinking of, is you're presenting all this stuff, you're doing these retreats, and the world keeps changing around everyone, yeah, around all these organizations, whether private or nonprofit or even public, mm-hmm, in terms of like a government or something along those lines, or an organization that serves the public. Mm-hmm. How have you changed your approach? You just talked about being, you know, having to have a yes and approach, oh, yeah, to this for sure, because of everything changing. But, you know, even in the last 5 years,
mm-hmm,
so much has changed.
I have softened and hardened in different ways. And it's funny that you asked that because I really hadn't thought about it. But this is the truth. I have in some instances had to bolster more energy and more control of the situation where I'm not accepting people's not participating. It's like I've got to push you so that we get the momentum we need, so we get the participation we need. And I may make you a little more uncomfortable than I would have been willing to in the past. On the other side, when I encounter the fragile flowers out there, and when I say that, I don't mean disrespect. I'm just talking about people that would rather be a wallflower.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to bring them out into the light, you literally see them scared and uncomfortable. And it's like, that's not my jam. I'm going to pull back more than I would typically for those folks that I encounter. If I think that you have it in you to push through and get it done, I'm going to push you and get it done. But there have been some that I've realized mid-push, not really pushable. I have a student in my improv class that couldn't handle an exercise we did. It's called Circle of Love, where we're all talking in a circle. And the rule is everyone finds something good about somebody else in the circle, throw some love at them. And when one of my students was receiving that love, she burst into tears and then had to leave the group because she couldn't deal with the emotion of being, mm-hmm, called out for something good, you know, yeah, but still. And there was a day when I would have gone, come on. Someone was giving you love and you can't take that. But the other side of me is, no, everybody came out of this pandemic with different wounds, with different PTSD, with different feelings that aren't resolved. And we got to kind of just receive them. But we still have to get stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, that's the hard part. I try to stay superhuman, superhuman.
Well, I think we can all agree that you're superhuman. Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for listening. I think that's one of the constants in my life for sure. Bob's superhumanness, his ability to be humble, introspective, and to change when the situation calls for change. And as his business manager, I will say he's getting booked up for the rest of the year, real quick. So if you want to hire him like the very, very smart folks at Think Integrated did, you better reach out soon, or we're going to be looking at 2026 at the earliest. Have a great day.